Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to UBS's Washington Weekly Podcast. As you know, each week we do like to check in with the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy to get thoughts on recent developments within the Beltway and beyond. Today we will check in on progress with respect to stimulus efforts in Washington, efforts to identify and mitigate voting irregularities, the Senate runoff races in Georgia, and more. Joining me here on the line this morning for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Federal Affairs Manager with the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C. Shane, welcome back to the podcast, what will actually be the final Washington Weekly of 2020. It's been a wild ride, but here we are. We've made it, but looking forward to having our closing conversation today.
Thanks, Dan. It's good to be with you, and many respects, I'm glad this is the final time we'll talk in 2020, as 2020 felt like 3 or 7 years jammed into one.
Definitely. Yeah, now that makes two of us, and hopefully a brighter future on the horizon as we head into the new year. So I know there's a few items we want to cover before we close the book on 2020, maybe starting with the topic that we've been talking about, it seems like, for several weeks, if not several months, the topic of fiscal stimulus in Washington. I know that's coupled with a looming deadline to avoid a government shutdown. So high stakes, not a lot of time left. But where do we stand on these items as of this morning?
Yeah, both are making progress, and I think we're going to see something materialize, you know, today or this weekend. For the government funding, government is currently funded through today. So if nothing is passed into law by the end of the day, either the full agreement or just a quick short-term patch, so there is no government shutdown, there will be a government shutdown. But it'll probably just be through the weekend, so no, you know, sizable material impact to our daily lives or the markets. But it is obviously bringing some attention to the markets, or grabbing the attention of the markets, I should say. When they do reach a deal on government funding, it will probably fund the government through the remainder of the fiscal year, which is through September 30th, 2021. At least for the next few months, we won't have to hear about the potential of a government shutdown. So that's positive news. And at the same time, as you mentioned, they're trying to come to a final agreement on another stimulus package. And we believe they're on the verge of a deal here. The final bill will have many bipartisan provisions we've talked about previously, including funds for vaccine distribution, funds for the unemployed, small businesses, schools, healthcare providers. But it appears that the this deal will not include liability protections for businesses and schools and other entities, as well as it will not include state and local government funding. So this is obviously subject to negotiations and change, but I think at the end of the day, we're probably going to see something materialize in the next, 12 to 72 hours here. And hopefully, you know, when we wake up on Monday, you know, we can solely focus on the holidays.
Thank you for the clarity there, Shane. It does sound like a shutdown, if one occurs, not as severe as some headlines would have you believe. So good to receive that clarity. And hopefully, as you pointed out, a stimulus deal in some form gets done in short order. And it's encouraging to hear that progress is being made on that front. So more to come and more perhaps to track over the weekend. Something else I wanted to highlight. I know this week the Senate Homeland Security Committee held a hearing this past, I think it was Wednesday, with respect to voting irregularities. This is a topic that's been on the minds of many. Curious, Shane, who did we hear from? What were some of the key takeaways, and where might this all go from here?
Yeah, this was a 3-hour hearing that, you know, I think in some respects, I'm always hopeful when a hearing is announced that, you know, it'll be productive. Unfortunately, I don't think this hearing was productive. It really devolved into kind of a food fight over the election. You had I think 4 witnesses. The star, I guess you could say, because he brought the most attention, was Chris Krebs, who ran the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency until President Trump fired him last month. Also joining him as witnesses were some lawyers for the Team Trump, So, you know, you saw a divide here, honestly, between Republicans and Democrats. You know, some of the Trump team was bringing up, and supporters were bringing up allegations of, you know, election fraud that, you know, really the evidence has not been there. Senator Rand Paul also noted that, you know, the court losses that President Trump has suffered were largely on technical grounds and therefore shouldn't be viewed as conclusive regarding that there were not fraud claims. You know, I think if you look at the totality of the cases that he's talking about, there are some that were thrown out on technical grounds, but, you know, many that were thrown out because evidence was not presented of actual fraud. And, you know, this played out in the hearing as a food fight, and I think that devolved pretty quickly, and it was unfortunate. As for further action, you know, I think knowing that we're going to have a President Biden and a House that is Democrat, and, you know, the balance of the Senate still up in air, I don't see Congress passing real legislation next year to address any problems or perceived problems with our election voting system. I think you may see states go down that path and some states tightening up their laws, but I would not expect really anything at this time on the federal level to materialize in the next 2 years.
I was watching some of the highlights of the hearing, and indeed it did appear contentious at times, so we'll see what kind of follow-up materializes into next year, if any. But thank you for bringing us up to speed on that, Shane. Maybe now turning over to the Justice Department. I know this past week there was a very high-profile departure, and this was speculated about in the days leading up to the actual announcement. So what can you share with us there?
Yeah, Attorney General William Barr has presented his letter of resignation. I believe he's staying on until December 23rd. You know, and you're right. You know, I think the writing was on the wall that something had to happen here. You know, in President Trump's mind, there were probably two things weighing on him. First, that Attorney General Barr stated that he did not see any election fraud that would have overturned the results of the election. And secondly, you know, reports that Hunter Biden is in fact being investigated by the Department of Justice, and that William Barr did not make this public before the election. It's something that President Trump would have liked to talk more about on the election trail. So I think he had some displeasure with Attorney General Barr. There are a bunch of, you know, theories. Some of them may be real. Some of them may be conspiracy about, you know, exactly how this departure happened and what it may mean about the next month or so until Joe Biden is sworn in. You know, obviously, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I think we're going to move on from this, and, you know, pretty soon the Senate will be talking about Joe Biden's nominee for Attorney General and not William Barr. So we will move on from this, but some people probably won't forget about this.
Given where we stand with that, Shane, what's the White House's position on the election outcome as of today? It doesn't sound like there's really any path forward at this point for an alternative outcome to what was.
Yeah, no. You know, so at the beginning of the week, you saw states confirm their electoral voters and essentially, you know, hand President-elect Biden the nomination or to be sworn in as president. The White House is still saying there's still a fight left. You know, it's not over until Joe Biden is sworn in on January 20th. And I think, in fact, even after that, you'll hear Donald Trump talking about this election for months to come, if not years to come. And in that hearing that we just discussed, you know, Trump tweeted in support of Senator Rand Paul's claim and, you know, said that Chris Krebs was excoriated during the hearing. You know, I think I watched most of the hearing and I'm not sure I would agree with that, but, you know, you definitely see that the White House is not going gently into that good night.
Would appear not, but it does appear that there is a lot of campaigning efforts from the White House with respect to the Senate runoff races in Georgia. I know we've seen some pretty high-profile campaign events over the past couple of weeks, so I'm curious as to how the campaigning has been progressing with these four candidates down in Georgia. And do we have any polling data as of today, Shane?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing this up. And let me also mention that besides our Washington Weekly that we will be putting out today, we hope to be putting out a special piece specific to this Georgia Senate runoff, because it is that important. And we'll discuss this in greater depth than I will here right now. But I think what you're seeing, we've seen a few public polls, and the public polls have showed really, you know, that the race is tight. Some say the Democrats are up just a little, and the others say Republicans are up just a little. I think at the end of the day, though, this is all about voter turnout and which side can turn out their base voters. I think we've already seen 1.6 million mail-in votes, ballots requested. So you're seeing significant interest, obviously, in this race, more so than a normal runoff or special election. So it's hard to say, you know, will that polling reflect in the end result? And you know, I think, you know, this is fluid for a few reasons. One, we have more money already being spent in this runoff than was spent in the entire Georgia Senate race to begin with. Two, you have, while you have this high interest level, you have the holidays coming into play. So is that going to force people to mail by in person on election day before the holidays, or are they going to mail heavier on mail-in? So there's a little bit of fluidity there that makes this an interesting outcome that we'll be following.
Absolutely. We'll be tracking this very closely over the next few weeks. But Shane, thank you very much for the insights you provided today. And over the past year, you and your colleagues, including John Savercool from the U.S. Office of Public Policy, have done great at keeping our clients well informed during what has been a very challenging and eventful year. So we'll look forward to continuing our conversation in 2021. But in the meantime, Shane, have a safe and restful holiday season.
Thank you, Dan. I hope you do as well. I hope everyone else has a safe and enjoyable holiday season. And I look forward to talking to you all in 2021.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it as well. And again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Federal Affairs Manager with the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C. So before we close out the podcast for today, as always, do want to remind our listeners and especially our clients of UBS, please be sure to reference the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication, as well as that special piece on the Senate runoff races in Georgia that Shane just cited. Those pieces can be located up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. Again, that's ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS On Air Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us and look forward to speaking again with you in 2021.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA SIPC.